What's up, everybody? Good to have you. Welcome to week number two in our miracles series. Very excited about this series and how it's already been moving. But before we get into the message, I just want to actually take a couple things from the church news and just remind you of, but want to just extend a personal invitation to our growth track. If you've not been a part of our growth track at all, I want to invite you to come out today. It's at 1:15 and we have our lunch and childcare is provided. So we try to make sure all the bases are covered for you. And I just want to encourage you, whether you've been here first time today, or you've been here for a few weeks or a few months even, and you've just been kind of kicking the tires, so to speak, around here, checking things out, I just want to invite you to come out. And it's a great opportunity for you just to understand and know our vision and our values as a church, what it looks like to just be a member here and call this place home. But also the biggest part that is a joy for us to help you understand your gifts and your purpose. We have a saying around here that life just doesn't make sense until you discover your purpose. And so that's one of our the heart that really goes behind our growth track. So if you've not been through growth track, I just want to personally invite you to come out, be a part of it. And we're just excited to see what God is already doing through people that have been going through it. But again, it's today, right after service. And also next week, everybody say next week. We are celebrating our 4 years as a church. How amazing is that? Amen. Isn't God awesome? Man. There's some days I feel like we just started, and some days I feel like we've been doing it longer than 4 years. So it's just awesome to see what God has done in such a short time, you guys. And so it's an opportunity for us as a church just to celebrate next week. And so you don't want to miss it. We got some fun things that are planned. But also, one of my friends, Josh Monty, that will be here next week. Let me say this about just guest speakers when we bring them in. We really, I try to do a good job of bringing people in that I really know that have not only been a blessing to my life, but I believe will be a blessing to your life. And so I just encourage you really to value those that we bring in, because these guys are just amazing. And Pastor Josh, who's going to be here with us next week, has a powerful testimony. He went through so much before he ever stepped foot in ministry. And so I've just really asked him to share a big part of his story next week with you guys, because I think it's really going to encourage your faith. And so don't miss next week. Look at the person next to you and say, don't miss next week. So you want to be here for that, and we're excited to celebrate 4 years, 4 years. It's also Palm Sunday as well. So we're going to get right into our message here. If you haven't grabbed your message notes, you can do that, or you can follow along on the screen. But what we're doing in this series is just taking a look at some of the miracles that Jesus did, and our hope and our prayer through this is that this really inspires your faith to continue to believe God and trust Him to do the miraculous in your life, in our city, through our church. And how many know God is still in the miracle business today? Amen, everybody. So we're a people, man. We're a church that believes in the supernatural power of God and His miraculous power to move, and it's present. It's available for us today. So John chapter 14, right here, beginning in verse 12, our theme verse for this series, it says, I tell you the truth, Jesus talking here, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. I think it's such a cool way to start off, because Jesus is saying, hey, if you want to be like me, guess what? You can do that. But then I love how he takes it another level up, and he says, but he will do even greater things. Everybody shout greater things. Than these, because I am going to the Father. Man, I think it's cool to have a father, and I think it's a great picture of a father to always want his kids to go farther than him. I mean, when you think about your own kids, you want your kids to just exceed everything you've ever done. And that's the heart of our Father, that He wants us to be a part of greater things in the earth. And He wants you and I to be a part of that right here in Fort Wayne and our nation and in the world today. But I don't know about you, but I am so hungry and desperate to see greater things happen. I'm just not comfortable just hanging out where I've been. I know God has more for me. God has more for you. God has more for our church than what we've seen. Can you say a good amen today? And so I just believe that. And so it's an attitude, and we're going to look at that, really an attitude of faith today here in just a few minutes. But here's what I know. Some of us, maybe on some level, have experienced the miraculous in your life. And if you've experienced a miracle, we'd love to hear your story. I was thinking about this week, just what God has done in your life. And we like to tell stories around here and just what God is doing in people. But if you have, email us. Tell us about what God has done. And you can just email very simply, info@elevatecitychurch.com, but we'd love to hear from you. But maybe you're in a place today that you're believing God for a miracle. And our heart is just simply to come alongside of you and just believe and pray and trust God with you that that is going to be a reality in Jesus' name. But here's what I know, and this is a little bit of what we talked about last week. And if you missed last week, make sure you jump online and check that message out. But sometimes it's hard to trust. Sometimes it's hard to really believe in faith that that God can and God will do something. How many have ever been in that place where you just feel like, man, I got faith, but then I don't? Like there's times I feel like I'm certain about it, and then other times I don't. There's times I feel like it's easier for me to have faith for other people than it is for my situation. How many know what I'm talking about? And so we go through, I think, just these moments and these times of uncertainty in our relationship with the Lord, and our faith kind of begins to wean a little bit. But it's interesting to me that in this story, I think you're going to find a lot of, you'll be able to identify, I think, a lot with this dad in the story that we're going to look at here today, because he was in a very desperate place with his son. And so we're going to look at this miracle that Jesus did in Mark chapter 9. We're going to kind of hang out in this verse of scripture here today. And this story is about the story of Jesus casting out an evil spirit in this man's son. But really, there's more to this story than I think what we really realize. And so that's what I want to try to pull out of this today. It's interesting just to kind of set up what's going on. Jesus is walking in, and there's a lot of arguing going on. There's arguing between his disciples and between the religious ones of his day. And so he comes in, and follow along with me if you would, and he begins with a question. He says, "What are you arguing with them about?" Jesus asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech, and whatever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground, and he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "Oh, unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you?" I almost, when I was reading this, sense maybe a little frustration here with Jesus. "How long shall I put up with you?" He's thinking, man, come on, guys, you know. And so he said, "Bring the boy to me." And so they brought him to him. And when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything," look at this response, this question that this dad is asking. Again, he's talking to Jesus, but he says, "If you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." And then notice what Jesus says here. He throws the question back. He's like, what do you mean if I can? You know, what do you mean if I can? And he goes on to say, "Everything is possible for him who believes." And immediately the boy's father exclaimed, which I got to point something out that I thought was so interesting, because this is where I think some of us get to, and some of us even may be at today, that we become so desperate, and we even in those times of you know, our faith being strong, and then all of a sudden, man, I don't know. You know, our real moments, because the last time I checked, the reason why we go through some of those moments is you and I are human. Last time I checked. And so part of our humanity, man, we have to work through some of those struggles. But the Bible says, I think it's interesting they use this word exclaim, because in the Greek, it's the word krazo, which is K-R-A-Z-O. And it literally means to croak as a raven, or to scream, or to call aloud, or to shriek. So I want you to see this today, because this dad is desperate, and he's crying out and with a scream, and he says this to Jesus. He says, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." I mean, you gotta imagine with me this morning. I mean, he is yelling it out. I won't scream for your sake today, all right? But he's yelling it out real loud, saying, "I believe, but help me with my unbelief." And you know, as I've been praying over this series, I've been praying that God would raise us up as a people and raise up this church to be a church that believes in the miraculous power of God. That we would not question whether God can, but we know that he will and that he's able. And so we're desperate to believe God for more, to believe God for greater things. And so in this series, and specifically with this message today, and as I was praying this week, I'm thinking, God, man, I just want to see us stirred up to believe you for more. How many want to see God do more in your life? How many want to see God do more in your family? Come on, somebody, in our city and in our nation. And so we've got to be a people, I believe, that are hungry for it, desperate for it, not willing to cut a deal for it, but that will trust God and see him bring about the miraculous in our life. And he can, everybody. Everybody shout, he can. Everybody shout, he's able. So you got to believe that. And that's what I want to get to really just work to get you to understand today, is understanding that God is willing and able. And that even in those moments of doubt, because those are real moments that we all have, times of uncertainty that we have, but how we can really begin to fall in line with what God wants us to do, and that no matter what hits us, we can stand with a posture of faith, and even in the midst of a hurricane, and have perfect peace and a hair not be out of place. I'm talking about that kind of peace and that kind of confidence in the God that you serve. That's what I want for my life. I hope that's what you're wanting for your life here as well today. So I want to just talk about a couple of things of, I think, why we tend to doubt. Some things that contribute to our doubting God. And so let's look at them. If you're following along in your notes today, jot this first one down. I think it's because sometimes we just believe like those around us. We tend to listen to voices instead of the voice. And we tend to gravitate towards things and other people, and we kind of get sucked into some things that really aren't healthy. And so Jesus, in verse 19, he says, "Oh, unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." I think it's interesting because just over the years, I've had the honor and the opportunity to travel overseas and to minister in different nations. And what's amazing to me is to see miracles in motion, so many miracles. You know, when I've been overseas, it's just been awesome, the teams that we've been with. And there's something about, I think, in some of the cultures of the nations that are just desperate for God. And I'm believing for that kind of desperation, even in my own personal life. But when you go and see, it's just amazing. So I don't know. I don't know if it's because of the desperation, the innocence, or what it is. But seeing the miraculous is just, man, it's kind of become a very common thing in some parts of the world. And it's awesome to see. I'll never forget when our team, when we were ministering in Brazil, that we saw, man, the crippled healed. We saw the deaf hear. I remember there was a woman whose leg was shorter than the other, and man, right in front of us, grew back. Come on, that's the power of our God, everybody. He works and does miracles. Amen. I remember when I was, it was actually in the States, and I was ministering at a church, and afterwards, I had a family come up. And the family came up, and their boy had severe scoliosis in his back. Scoliosis is just a severe, really, curvature of the spine. And so bad and so much pain that he was even hunched over when he walked up. So I knew something was wrong. And so the parents began to tell me what was going on. And so before I prayed, though, and of course, my faith is just, I'm believing God always for him to do the miraculous. And so I just looked at the boy, and I said, "Hey, bud," I said, "you believe today that Jesus can heal you?" And he just kind of looked up. He said, yes, sir, I do. And his parents, and I looked at his parents and said, "Mom, Dad, you believe God can do this today?" And they said, "Yeah." And so we just began to pray. And I just laid my hand on his back, and we just began to pray and believe God for his healing and his back. And it was awesome because all of a sudden I just started noticing, as he was hunched, he just started to arch back a little bit. And as he was doing that, I just asked him, I said, "Man, what's going on? What's happening? Talk to me." And he said, some of the pain is leaving. And so we prayed a little bit more. And I just looked at Mom and Dad. I said, "Let's continue to believe that what God has started, he's going to finish." And I said, "Listen, you don't have to be in a church building to get a miracle. All right, let me make that real clear. All right, so we can believe God anywhere we're at, everybody. That's why you can't underestimate the power of your God no matter where you are. That's why for some people, and even in workplaces or whatever, you're the only Bible that people will ever read. So your life and your influence is huge." And so I remember weeks had gone by, and I just put my faith in just an agreement with them. And I, obviously I was friends with the pastor of the church, and he called me and said, "Common, you'll never believe it." He said, and I said, "I'm sure I'll believe it." I said, "What's up? What happened?" And he said, "Man, it's crazy." He said that the parents took their son back to the doctor, and they did a full exam of his back, and they got the report back, and his spine had totally straightened out. And it was a miracle of God's power. Amen, everybody? Oh, come on. Amen, everybody? That's the God that we serve. Let me say something. Listen, because here's what happens. Here's what the world does. It's, man, they, you know, when, you know, things like this, the Bible says, is foolishness to those that don't believe. But listen, I want you to understand the heart of your God. The heart of your God is to heal. The heart of your God is to deliver, is to help people, whether it's emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually, whatever it is. And so sometimes we just get this idea that, ooh, that sounds spooky. Or, ooh, man, that's kind of weird, Pastor Kyle. I don't know if that's for me. I'm just telling you, it is for you. Because God ain't spooky. He's not weird. People get weird and people get spooky. So we got to be careful to understand. Don't label my God that way. I'm just telling you, I will come to his defense because that's not my God. My God is powerful. He's all knowing. And I'm telling you this, I'm thankful for a God who does miracles, because if it wasn't called a miracle, then a miracle is something that blows your mind. That's why it's called a miracle. All right. Something that you and I can't always comprehend, but we know that he can and he can do it. So I'm desperate to see that. I'm desperate to see God touch people right where they're at and see the supernatural happen in Jesus' name. Anybody else desperate for that today? Amen. So I think what happens is we just tend to get infected, though, by voices that are on the outside that maybe don't even understand what's going on. And you've got to be careful of that. I love this scripture out of the Message Bible in Romans 12:2. It says this: so don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognize what he wants from you, and quickly, everybody shout quickly, because anytime Jesus calls you to do something, you got to respond to it. So quickly respond to it, unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. Isn't that true? God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Amen. And here's another reason why I think sometimes we doubt, and I believe it's because we have really bad theology. So jot this next one down. We believe sometimes that God is fickle. And I'm going to explain what that means. We just believe he's fickle. We believe that God just likes other people more than he likes me. And God doesn't play favorites. Let me just tell you that right now. He doesn't play favorites, shows no partiality with anybody. But we think we even come to this place thinking, well, he's just too hard to figure out. Man, it's just not going to happen. But here's this dad in this place of desperation, but is now losing hope in God. For years, his son has dealt with this. And for years, now all of a sudden, his faith is starting to wane. He's not sure if God would even be willing now to heal him. He's just not sure. Verse 22, it says, it has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, again, I just think it's so interesting because I think we can relate to this. And God, if you can, if you're willing, of course he's willing. That's why Jesus responded in such a way that saying, hey, everything is possible for those that believe. The key is this: don't stop believing. Keep believing God for whatever it is in your life, whatever miracle you're believing for. Don't stop believing. Keep trusting. Keep having faith. Keep believing. Hang in there. I'm telling you, God is going to move and he's going to work this thing out in Jesus' name. And last week, as we were talking about the miracle of the water turned to wine, we looked at some other people in the Bible that had some moments of just real struggle. Exaggerating the negative was one of our points last week. And David was one of those that did that kind of well, especially when you read in Scripture. But here's a place that he's also in a place of frustration in Psalm 10. He says, why, O Lord, do you stand far off? And I feel like this is some of us today. Like, God, why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Where are you at? And this is what's happening. I don't feel like you're here. And then what happens is I think we almost start negotiating with God and trying to make deals. So, God, if you'll do this, then I'll do this. And God just doesn't work that way. God is a relational God. He's a God to be experienced, a God to be encountered. And the truth is, I'm telling you this morning, be encouraged. God is not afar off. He is with you today, and he is present in this place this morning. And he wants to touch your life right where you're at. And so I believe sometimes when we go through the issues of life that we tend to focus more on those issues. And we've got to be careful, because then what happens is we start losing perspective and direction of where we need to go next. And then finally, I think we doubt because, jot this next one down, as we believe, sort of. Yeah, you can laugh at that. I laughed at it too, all right? We believe, so it's we have this sort of kind of faith. I mean, I believe God can do it, but I don't know if you've ever been there before, or maybe you're there right now and you're wrestling with a sort of kind of faith. Verse 24, it says, immediately the boy's father exclaimed, remember, he's yelling out, screaming, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. When we doubt, when we believe God and we doubt, I'm telling you, life becomes very confusing. And scripture says God is not the author of confusion. And we just see, man, as we continue to try to work it out, it gets even more frustrating. I love what James says here in chapter 1 of verse 6, beginning. It says, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all that he does. We need to believe God, not even just for the outcome, but continuing to have a posture of faith and resting. And that's part of my hope today, even in this message, is that we can come to a place and grow so close to God that while things are moving around in our life, that we can be in a place of certainty, in a place of rest. Sometimes, even in the culture that we live in, we're in such a fast-paced culture, so much happening that it's easy to just lose focus in our attention. But we've got to learn how to rest in the things of God. And here's what I know. Real faith doesn't ever hinge on the outcome. Real faith understands and knows the character and the nature of your God. And that's part of what I want to help you understand right here. It's his nature and his character to heal, to restore, to build again. Whatever it is that we're believing God for, it's in his nature to have compassion on us and to give us grace for whatever it is we can't handle, that he's an ever-present help in a time of need. Amen, everybody? You know, I think about some of the things that I've even seen in my own family. My brother, who was in a place where he was, as a young boy, struggled so much with asthma, and watched God heal him of asthma. And, you know, doctors were telling him he wouldn't be able to play sports because it was so bad. But I remember, believed God for a miracle, and he was healed of that. And also, I remember, it was several years ago, he was in a severe car accident, and he was T-boned by a dump truck. Shouldn't be here. But thanks be to God for his miraculous powers. My brother coded multiple times, and they were able to resuscitate him. God's miracle-working power preserving him. Remember my own story back in 2008 where I just got this ridiculous sickness that doctors couldn't even diagnose, and went into the hospital and was in a coma for weeks and was in such a place that I was not responding to anything the doctors were giving me, so much so that they were preparing Bethany and my family for my death. You know, and I thought about this week as I was praying. I thought, man, what if Bethany and my family just accepted that? Like, it was messing with me this week. Like, what if, now they didn't, but what if? And I think sometimes we've got to be careful not to just accept where we're at. Man, I hope you're hearing this today, my heart. Because I think we get such in a place of just what'll be, will be sort of attitude that we just forget. And we just are like, well, whatever. But I'm just telling you, and I thought about it this week. I'm so glad that Bethany and my family said, you know what? We understand what you're saying, doctor. We're thankful for you. But that's not the report we're believing for. We're believing God for a miracle to raise him up out of this coma in Jesus' name. And for God to move in a miraculous way in his life. And it was on a Christmas morning, by the way. Bethany was praying for a Christmas miracle. She got one. And I woke out of the coma. They took the ventilator off, and all of a sudden the turnaround began. But because of God's power, that's why you can never stop believing for the miracle. No matter where you're at in the journey, no matter what it is that you're believing for, maybe it's not a physical thing you're believing for, maybe it's something else in your family, in your life. Don't stop believing for a miracle. Greater things are on the way. Keep trusting. Keep believing. Keep the faith alive and know that God is working even when you don't see it. Because here's what I've realized in the journey, that God doesn't work on our timetable. He and I have different watches, if you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, we don't wear the same wristwatch, that's for sure. And here's what I also know, that he never does things my way. And I'm glad for that, because he knows. You know, we're in a place right now, even with my mom. My mom years ago had a horrible report of a brain tumor that happened. And And in that, the doctors were potentially going to do surgery at that time. And if so, her face was going to go paralyzed and she was going to go deaf. But we chose not to accept it. And so we prayed and believed God for that miracle. And she was fighting another disease called Meniere's disease as well. And it's amazing to me. And so we believed, and man, God healed her of that brain tumor. And we're still believing today. 20 years she's had this disease of what's called Meniere's disease. There's some days it'll lay her out. And you know, we've just come to a place as a mom and son. We talked about this years ago one night and just said, no matter what, she looked at me and she said, son, I'm never going to stop believing God for my miracle. I may have bad days and it could be real bad, but I'm never going to stop. And don't you ever stop believing with me. And this week was one of those tough weeks. And man, I hate it. I hate it for my mom. And you know, I just text her and I just said, hey, we're not going to quit believing for a miracle. For some of us, we've been believing for years. I'm just telling you, God is good. And I know he knows. And so therefore, we can't stop believing him for a miracle. Y'all here today, everybody? Just talking from my heart today. Romans 4:19, it begins here. Abraham and Sarah are in a place where God is saying, I'm about to fulfill a promise. But they're thinking, God, we're old. There's just no way. Our bodies just don't work the same way they used to. Watch this. It says, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet, watch this, he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. My faith, listen, is not dependent on the outcome. We have made a decision, even as a family. We're trusting God and declaring all the days of our life, he is good. Amen? So if you've got this sort of kind of faith, I'm going to help you, because all that needs to happen is just for your faith to be strengthened today and to be encouraged. So I want to define it. Hebrews 11:1 tells us this: faith is being sure, all right, of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So faith is sure and it is certain. It is sure I know what I'm believing for, but it's also certain even though I don't see it, I know it's going to happen. I know it's going to be a reality. I'm not going to quit. There's no other way to believe. I'm believing in his word and trusting him and what he's saying. I'll even say this for the note takers. It's not in your notes, but if you want to jot this down, faith is not an event. Faith is a journey. We just don't need faith for when we're sick. We don't need just faith when we're going through tough times. We need faith every day of our life. We need a lifetime, a lifestyle of faith. So it's a journey. Everybody say it's a journey. Faith is an attitude. I like that. It's an attitude. It's a swag almost, I'd call it, because it's about what you believe about something, that nothing can deter you from your faith and knowing who he is and his word. And so we got to get that focus and understand how do we get that right. Jesus in this scripture teaches us really three powerful things that we got to get. And the first one is this, that your authority comes through his name. You've got to understand this. In the place of faith, your authority comes through his name, and that's Jesus. Verse 25, it says, so when Jesus saw the crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit, said, you deaf and mute spirit. He said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. Jesus right here is teaching us a powerful spiritual warfare. A couple points here. First of all, the understanding of this, that the enemy, Satan, has to respond to the highest authority, and that's Jesus Christ. He's the name that is above every name. In that name is salvation. In that name is strength, power, victory. But also, you have to understand and know the authority of the word of God. That's why the word needs to be in you. That's why you need to be reading the scripture, and then also understanding the power of the cross and the power of his blood that was shed for each of us. Philippians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, and at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Number two, I love this one, maybe my favorite point of the day, as your confidence comes through relationship. The disciples were just boggled. I mean, it's just in a very frustrating place because they're thinking, man, Lord, why couldn't we be a part of this miracle? Why didn't this happen for us? Jesus said in verse 29, this kind can come out only by prayer. Another version even says prayer and fasting. you have to understand this. The more that you spend time with God, the more confident you're going to become. All right, I'm going to say it again. The more you spend time with God, the more confident that you're going to become. So you've got to immerse yourself in God's word and let his word become a reality in your life. That it's just not something I do on Sunday, but this is a lifestyle. That's why we even started in January with 21 days of prayer and fasting. Not because we didn't have anything else to do. Oh, I just feel like fasting today. No, we are led by it. And God is in a place where he is drawing us closer. That's why we do Saturday morning prayer at 9 a.m. to 10. It's awesome. Trust me. It's not just us sitting around in chairs and kumbaya for an hour. I just promise you, all right? It's awesome what God was doing on Saturday mornings in prayer here. It's amazing. But here's the reason why is because I'm telling you, there's a desperation. And God is putting it in this church to say, I want Elevate City to believe me for more. To believe me for the miraculous and to believe that I can do greater things through you and in this city for the glory of God. Because it's not about us. It's not about an ego. It's about what God is trying to accomplish in this earth and right here in our own backyard. And we've got to take care of Fort Wayne. Amen, everybody? And so as you draw close to God, he's drawn close to you. And there's time of 21 days of prayer and fasting. One of the things I encourage us to do is, man, join in the, get the Bible app on your phone. And we all did that. I actually brought my phone out on a Sunday morning of that service. And we did some of that together. It's awesome to see many guys going through the one-year Bible. But listen to me. You know, the goal was not just to read the Bible through a year. I mean, that's cool and all. But the goal was for the Bible to get in you. So it's not about how many days can I read. It's about how much of the word can I get in my spirit. And it's amazing. If you will set that as a discipline of your life, all of a sudden when things start hitting your life, you just become a little bit more confident. Your swag gets a little bit stronger because you know what? I know God's going to move. I know other people are freaking out, but I'm not freaking out. God is God. He's got complete control of this. And so as you grow in your relationship in that place of prayer, I'm telling you, things begin to happen. Things in your life begin to get unlocked. And I'm just telling you, and I'm encouraging you, spend time with God. Make him a priority, not just on Sunday, but what does the rest of your week look like with him? And I'm telling you, he's a jealous God. He wants to be with you. God's not interested in being second and third place in your life. He's not. He doesn't want to be. He wants to be first in your life. Here's what I know about prayer. Prayer rearranges everything to how God sees things. It's amazing how prayer will shift your focus to what he wants instead of what you want. Prayer moves the hand that moves the world. So when you're praying, you got to know who you're praying to. The one that created the heavens and the earth, the all-powerful one. He's incredible. And so we have to see God as a God of power and of strength and of might. The world has tried to depict him as weak. Our God ain't weak, everybody. Amen? All right. And so I've just in this, as we continue to journey in faith, when problems hit you, it's amazing. And as you're growing in that confidence in your relationship with the Lord, you start seeing problems as pre-miracles for God to do something awesome. You start viewing problems differently. You just do. You start growing into a place of maturity where all of a sudden, man, problems just don't affect me as much as kind of like they used to. I just have this posture that I know God's going to work this out. Romans 10:7. So faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So real faith doesn't come by the latest minister coming to Fort Wayne. It doesn't come by Kyle Mills or reading a good book. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Number three, you've got to get this. So important that your power comes through the cross. I love how Jesus ended this whole moment with this situation with unseemingly seemed like an unrelated comment to anything that was going on. And Jesus does this from time to time, and I think it's to get our attention. He says this in verse 31. He said to them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed. So notice, we were dealing with this guy's son. He's free. And then all of a sudden, Jesus turns it. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed in the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days, he will rise. All he was doing, he was letting everybody know that the final blow to the enemy is getting ready to happen. The cross is getting ready to take place. And then I'm going to rise again 3 days later, and we're going to be victorious in Jesus' name. So he's wanting us to get that. And I love verse 15 of Colossians in chapter 2. Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. So I encourage you, take the benefits of the cross. salvation, your healing, your wholeness, your victory. And don't stop believing God for your miracle. Don't stop believing God for other people. Amen, everybody? So we have an amazing opportunity as a church coming up just in 2 weeks on Easter Sunday. And our opportunity is that we're going to see miracles happen that day. We're going to see lives change, and we're going to see people come into a relationship with Jesus. And so here's what I want us to do. And as your pastor, if you call Elevate City Home, I'm asking us to do a couple things. Are you ready? Jot this first one down real quick. Is I want you to pray. I want you to start praying. I'm calling the whole church over the next 2 weeks to a place of prayer. Some of us even may feel led to fast, but I'm believing that this Easter Sunday is just going to be ridiculously amazing for God. That we're going to see lives changed and people impacted. You say, man, why put so much emphasis on that day? And here's the thing. We're blessed as a church to see people make decisions every week in this church, come to Jesus for the first time. But here's what we know. There's people right now sitting in darkness, people that have been deceived, that are coming. Listen, Easter Sunday is the greatest Sunday of the year for the church because it's the most attended Sunday of the year in the church. And it's the most attended as guests coming in the local church all over this nation. So guests everywhere are coming that day. And so we just want to be prepared. And man, we want them to experience Jesus at a personal level. That's our prayer. 1 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. You know, that was a little bit of my story. Before I really encountered God, I had a lot of religion. I was bound with religion. And until God made himself real to me, and I had a revelation of that relationship, because that's what it's about, is a relationship with Jesus. So I want you to take some time to pray over these next 2 weeks. Pray over even your friends that are coming and asking God to help them see clearly. Pray over your coworkers, your neighbors, your family, those who may be coming with you, and pray for those who are lost and hurting, that they will respond in a positive way. Here's the second thing I want you to do is invite. For some of you, I want to encourage you that call Elevate Home, really consider going to first service. We are starting, this second service is starting to really fill up. And on Easter Sunday, I'm asking some of our elevators in the house to really consider bringing those in first service. All right, so we can make more room for our guests, because it's about them and it's about reaching them. All right, so I want to encourage you, man, tell your friends, man, I'm going at the 9:30 service. I'd love to have you. We've got invite cards that are in your worship guide. There's a few of them in there. If you want more, we've got more. You can stop by the hub outside before you leave today and just pick up more. And if we're all out by the end of the day, that's fine. We'll just order more this week and get some more. But we made it bigger this year. And I told James, I want it bigger. All right, I want these to get in hands, man, and for people to see these and get people here for that day. We're planning an amazing day. From music to the message to more to donuts and more coffee. We're just doing a lot of extra things as well and just having a good time. And we'll have a powerful video, even a story of a changed life during the message that day. So we're working hard on our end. And 96, it's an interesting stat, that 96% of people said they're likely to attend church if they were just invited. People just need an invitation. And you're the one. You're the one. Romans 10 says, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Who can ask them to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? Part of your responsibility is just to invite them here. Part of our responsibility is to see them saved in Jesus' name. And that's what we're believing to happen on that Easter Sunday. The other thing that we'll do on that Sunday is something that we started last year that was powerful and it worked, and we're going to do it again this year, is what we just kind of call our spiritual survey. So your connection cards will look a little bit different that day. And I'm just inviting you to for everyone, I'm asking our staff, our leadership, to all of us participate when we do this at the end of that service to go through. There'll be A, B, C, and D. A represents those that are already in a relationship with the Lord. B represents, and we're praying for a lot of B's, that's saying, I want to begin a relationship with God. So we're believing for a lot of B's on that Sunday. C is for those, for C and D, we're asking people just to be real honest. C is for those that say, you know what, man, I just need a little more time to consider. And then D is for those, and again, challenging people to have the guts to do it, say, man, I don't ever intend on having a relationship with the Lord. And let me tell you something. Last year, we had one person that checked D. And what I tell people is if you do check D, just know I personally am going to be praying with you. So that connection card went everywhere I went for a while. And several weeks later, that person, man, went from a D to a B and accepted Jesus in his life. Amen, everybody? That's what it's about. So this year, he gets to check A. Isn't that cool? And so just to be a part of that miracle, you guys, is amazing. And so lastly, number three, is just participate with us. Revelation 5:12, in a loud voice they sang. We like to sing loud around here. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. I want you guys to come that Easter weekend. Man, let's celebrate Jesus like never before. You guys are doing a great job. You really are doing phenomenal. And let's just continue to be the church that God has called us to be. And I'm telling you, it touches those people that are visiting. Here's why I know, because many of those people, that some of those that even got saved last year we saw 61 people make decisions for Jesus on Easter last year. Amazing. Yeah, we're believing for a lot more this year. My faith is more. I believe there's more. There's more, many more we're gonna reach. But some of those same people are now coming to church today because of that Easter Sunday. So I'm just asking you guys, take ownership. This is your church. Let's celebrate. Let's help. Man, if you see people that are just kind of looking around, they look like they don't have a clue where they're going, just help them. You know, they may just need to know where the bathroom's at. You know, just go out of your way and help them and serve. And let's just continue to be a great example and serve and help people and be a part of just an amazing day that weekend. Amen, everybody? Amen. All right, let's pray. Bow your heads where you're at. Father, we just thank you so much this morning for your word that brings life to us and encouragement to us. And Lord, I'm believing today, Lord, as we are concluding this message and even 2 weeks here into this series on miracles, that God, that you are stirring our faith to believe you for greater things. And I just speak that over every one of us in this place right now. God, that you would increase and encourage our faith. Maybe we've identified today that we've got that sort of kind of faith, but I'm believing that, God, that you infuse us today, God, to see as you see, to believe as you want us to believe, and to trust you and to take you at your word. So, Father, I just speak life and encouragement and blessing. God, as a church here at Elevate, God, we want to see you do the miraculous in our life. Do a miracle in our families. Do a miracle in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We just declare this city belongs to you. Move in Indiana, move in our nation and our world. If you're here today, every head bowed, all eyes closed, just for this last moment, you say, you know what, Kyle, I heard you talk about it earlier. And you're recognizing that God's not first place in your life. I want to give you an opportunity right here. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or to come down to the front. I'm just going to ask you to lift your hand in just a moment. But if you'll get real honest with God right now and say, you know what, Kyle, that's me. And I need to make Jesus first in my life. I need to come into a relationship with him. For somebody else that maybe you just have noticed that you have just drifted from God. Don't even know how it's happened, but you're here today and you know God is talking to you. I want to give you that opportunity as well, man, just to come back and make a decision for him today. Come on, all of us around this room with every head bowed. If that's you, I don't want you to hesitate at all. Come on, lift up your hand and say, man, God, that's me. That's me. Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you, ma'am. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Awesome. In the back, see your hand. Thank you so much. Proud of you. Man, hands for the first time. People for the very first time. It's awesome. Come on, we're going to pray as a church. We're going to pray with you right now. Right now. All of us in one voice, if you lifted your hand, or if you, even if you weren't comfortable and you believe and you know it's time, I just want you to repeat this prayer and we're going to pray it with you as a church. Come on, everybody. Say, Jesus, you're amazing. Thank you for loving me like you do. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins and my past. My past does not control my future. My future is in your hands. So God, I give you everything. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for caring for me. Thank you for believing in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give Jesus a great big hand.